And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you again for this day and for another opportunity to be here in church. And I thank you for each person that's here. Now, Lord, I don't believe anybody's here by accident today. And I pray that you would speak to every heart. Lord, I pray you'd change every life. If there's somebody with us today that's not saved, we pray most especially that this day would be their day of salvation. That when they leave, they would have a personal relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us that are already saved, I pray you would minister to our hearts, whatever the need might be. If we need correction, reproof, instruction, whatever, comfort, I pray you would provide it through the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please help me to have liberty and clarity of thought. Please free all of our minds from distraction that we might focus our attention these next few moments on the Word of God. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach a message titled, What I've Never Seen. What I've Never Seen. And I want to begin by saying in my 46 plus years on this earth, I've seen a lot of things. I have seen some things that were amazing. They were mind-blowing amazing. I have seen some things that were beautiful. They were breathtaking beautiful. Just like the very first time that I ever laid eyes on my wife. That was a breathtaking moment. And yes, I am trying to get some brownie points this morning. But whenever I saw her, I knew she was the woman of my dreams. Beautiful woman. And throughout my life, I have seen many, many other beautiful, breathtaking things. I have seen things that were unexplainable. They were mind-boggling unexplainable. As Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 18 says, they were too wonderful for me. Things that I know not. I have seen things that were tragic. Things that were heartbreaking tragic. I have seen things that were exhilarating. They were heart-pounding exhilarating. Things that caused adrenaline to flood through my body. I have seen all sorts of things throughout my time here on this earth. But today I don't want to talk to you about what I have seen. I want to talk to you about what I haven't seen. And here in the next few moments I'm going to use the scripture that we just read to point out three things that I have never seen in my entire existence on this earth. First of all, I want to say this. And this message today is designed and intended to be an encouragement to every person that is here in this building. But first of all, I want to say this. In my life, I have never seen a problem the Lord can't solve. I have never seen a problem the Lord can't solve. Now, I have seen numerous problems throughout my existence here on this earth. I have seen big problems. I've seen small problems. I've seen problems in my own life and problems in the lives of others, people that I know and folks that I've never met. I've seen problems of all sorts and all kinds. I've seen family problems. I've seen financial problems. I've seen marital problems, children problems, job problems, church problems, spiritual problems. I've seen all kinds of problems throughout the years that I've been here on this earth. But not one time in my life have I ever seen a problem that God can't solve. And I don't believe any of you have ever seen a problem that God can't solve. And here's the really good news. The really good news is that we never will see a problem that God can't solve. Take a look once again right here at Mark chapter 10. And notice what the Bible says at the very end of verse number 27. We're going to look at most all of these verses, but I want us to look right here at verse 27 for the moment. In the end of that verse, Jesus says, "For with God all things are possible." Isn't that what it says? With God, not with man, but with God, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1 in verse number 37, the Bible says that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. One thing the Bible does time and again is show that God is a problem solver. That's one of the great things about the Word of God. It shows us from Genesis all the way to Revelation that our God is a problem solver. Whenever Israel came out of Egypt and all of those millions of people needed water, you know what God did? God provided water from a rock. When all of those millions of people needed food, He gave them manna and quail to eat on a daily basis. Whenever Elijah was on the run and he needed water and he needed food, God led him to a brook where he could drink. And two times a day he commanded the ravens to bring him bread and flesh to eat. Whenever a widow and her son were on the brink of starvation, God gave them meal and oil without fail. Every time that woman reached down into that barrel of meal, you know what she came up with? She came up with meal. Every time she reached for that cruse of oil so she could make a good hoe cake of bread, amen? If you don't like hoe cake, I really question you. But every time she reached for that cruse of oil, there was oil. God provided. He took care of the problem that this woman and her son had. Whenever Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, He provided for them in such a way that not a hair on their body was singed. Not even the smell of smoke was on their person. Whenever David got thrown into the lion's den, God sent His angel and He closed the lion's mouth. When a woman had an issue of blood for 12 years and she spent every dime she had on physicians and instead of getting better, she only got worse day after day. With just one touch from His body, virtue went out and healed that woman of her sickness. God is a problem solver. The maniac of Gadara, he's possessed with a legion of unclean spirits. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. He's living out in a graveyard. And people have tried to bind him with chains, and he's so powerful from these unclean spirits that he breaks loose every time that people try to bind him. He's cutting himself. He's screaming. He's crying. He's living out there all the time in the mountains among the tombs, and no man could help him. But then Jesus Christ showed up. The problem solver came on the scene. And with just His spoken word, He drove away every unclean spirit that possessed that man. when the widow of Nain's son died. First of all, she's a widow, so that means that her husband was already dead, but she did have a son. Guess what happened to him? He died too. But whenever that widow of Nain's son died, when they were having his funeral, they were carrying out of the city to be buried, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up again, and he just touches what he's laying on, and the son is raised from the dead. Whenever about 5,000 men beside their wives and children needed food, you know what he did? The Lord Jesus Christ, the problem solver, turned a two-piece fish dinner into enough to satisfy that whole crowd of people. Matter of fact, there was so much left over, the Bible says the disciples gathered up 12 basketfuls of fragments. They had leftovers. Each one of the disciples had some leftovers for the next day if they wanted them. You know who did that? The problem solver, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is at that wedding and they run out of wine, not fermented liquor, but just good old grape juice. They run out of it and they're wondering what they're going to do. The Lord Jesus Christ just gave them all the wine they needed. And you know what? According to what I read in the Bible, what he gave them was better than what they had to start with. What I'm telling you is our God is a problem solver. There is no problem that he can't solve. I've never seen one. I've never seen a problem. I have seen problems that I knew I couldn't handle. I've seen problems in my own life I knew I could not handle. I've seen problems in the lives of others that I knew I could not handle. That's one thing that is troubling to you when you're a minister and you try to minister to people and help people. You're constantly dealing with folks that have problems. That's just the way it is. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that's how it is. And you wish, or at least I do anyway, I wish that I could fix every problem in the life of every person that I meet. Especially the people that are within my congregation, the ones that I love, the ones that I care about so much. I wish I could fix every problem. I wish I had a solution for everyone. But I realize time and time and time again how inadequate I am, how unable I am in and of myself to take care of the problems that you people have. But you know what I can do? I can point you to the one that can solve any problem you have. I can do that. Because I have never seen a problem that the Lord can't solve. I don't know what all you got going on in your life. This is what I do know. I do know that every person in this building's got something going on in their life. Every person. We got something going on. Whatever it is that's going on in your life this morning, please understand, it is not too big for God. There is nothing that the Lord cannot handle. He can solve any problem, any issue that you have right now or that you will ever have at any point in the future. The Lord can do that. I think about Genesis chapter 18, where we have the record of the time when God is talking to Abram about how Sarah laughed whenever he said that she was going to have a baby in her old age. Y'all remember that story in the Bible? God made that promise. He said that's the way it was going to be, and Sarah just couldn't help herself. She chuckled and laughed about it. God talks to Abram about it, and he says to him, he says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's what God asked. You know what his implied answer was? No. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And guess what happened? She didn't think she was going to have that baby. She's thinking in her mind, I'm well beyond childbearing age. It's just not going to happen. This is not a reality. God, I think you're a little confused here. Maybe you don't understand the full situation. It's really not going to work out that way. But guess what happened? That old woman had a baby. Isn't that what happened? You know what that proves? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no problem you'll ever have that God can't solve. You'll never find one. You can try. You can build it up as big as you want. You can make it as big of a problem as you can possibly imagine, but you will never, ever build it up so big that God can't take care of it. Never. The Bible says right here in verse number 27, for with God all things. Y'all believe that this morning? You believe it? With all your heart, do you believe that? Where you sit this morning? I mean, make it real. Make it personal. Whatever problem you got going on in your life right now, just put that in the equation here. Do you believe God can take care of whatever's going on in your life right now? He can. You'll never see a problem the Lord can't solve. Number two, let me say this. In all of my life, I have never seen a person that the Lord can't save. I have never seen a person that the Lord can't save. Now, just like I have seen all sorts of problems, I have also seen all sorts of lost people. Now, at the end of the day, lost is lost, right? At the end of the day, we're all the same, or people that are lost are all the same in that regard. Lost is lost. But I have seen lost people in all sorts of conditions in their life. I've seen people that were bad lost folk. I'm talking about depraved, vile, wicked in their behavior, ungodly folk. I've seen some real wretched ones in the years that I've been on this earth. I've seen some very self-righteous lost people. They're lost just the same. They're very self-righteous. They believe in their mind they're good enough to get to heaven without the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're counting on their good outweighing their bad, and they believe they're all right. They don't need God. I'll get to heaven all by myself. Very self-righteous people. I have seen very religious lost people. Very religious. Dedicated to a church and a denomination or some type of organization. They give regularly to it. They contribute to the cause of their religion. They make constant sacrifices for their religion. They go through all sorts of religious motions. They say their prayers and they do their crosses and they make their confessions. I've seen them very religious, but you hear me, lost and on their way to hell. Religion has never saved anybody. Religion apart from Jesus Christ will put you in hell. That's what it'll do for you. I've seen lost people that were very religious. I've seen lost people that were very liberal. And I've seen lost people that were very conservative. You know what saddens my heart? Can I just tell you, just deviate just a little bit, just tell you something that saddens my heart? What saddens my heart is to see somebody who is from what we might call the old school in their way of believing and their way of thinking, but they're lost. But they have more conservative beliefs than a lot of people who go to church every Sunday. That saddens my heart. It breaks my heart to know that there are people in this world right now that if they died today, they'd go straight to hell, but they are more conservative in what they believe than a lot of people who go to church every Sunday. But listen to me, being conservative is not what gets you into heaven. I've seen lost people that were liberal. I've seen lost people that were conservative. I've seen lost people that were atheists. They don't even acknowledge the existence of God. Now, the Bible says that kind of person is a fool, right? That's what the Bible said. I didn't say that. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's Psalm chapter 14 and verse number 1. I have seen lost people that were agnostic. I have seen lost people that were church members. Lost people that go to church Sunday after Sunday. And I'm not talking to some weird, far out, crazy denomination. I'm talking about a normal denomination. They go every Sunday. They've been baptized. Their name's on the church roll. But they are lost and on their way to hell right now. I've seen all kind of lost people is what I'm trying to tell you. But you know what I've never seen? I have never seen a lost person that Jesus can't save. I've never seen one. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know there is nobody in this world now lost that has to die that way? Anybody lost can be saved. Look right here at this passage of Scripture again. Verse number 23, it says, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Notice You want to pay attention. He's not asking a question, is he? Look at the end of the verse. Is that a question mark? It's not a question mark, is it? That's an exclamation point, right? He's not asking a question. He's making a statement. He's declaring a truth. He says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Is that because people that are wealthy are harder to save than people that are in poverty? Is it because they somehow pose a challenge that's too big for God? Is that what the problem is? Absolutely not. The problem is they're not willing to turn loose of their trust in riches and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Look at the next verse. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that, look at it, trust in riches? In verse 23, he just said they have the riches. But in 24, he exposes the real problem. The problem is not in having riches, right? Y'all still with me? It's not a sin to have money. It's not a sin to have wealth as long as a person has gotten that in an honest fashion and it's been given to them by the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. So the problem wasn't that they had riches or that they have them. The problem is verse 24, they trust in their riches. And that's why it's hard for those people to be saved, because they won't turn loose of their trust in their money and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 25. After asking twice how hard, or not asking, declaring twice how hard it is, he says in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now you think about that, a camel going through the eye of a needle, that'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Talking about seeing some amazing things, if I ever saw that, I would be amazed. I really would, if I ever saw that. Hard for these people. Not because of the Lord, but because of them. But look at verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? The idea is, if rich people can't be saved, then who can? Who then can be saved? And Jesus, here it is, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. You know one thing that teaches? It teaches that it's impossible for men to save themselves. This idea that people are going to earn their way into heaven, that they're going to be a do-gooder enough to get themselves into heaven, that they don't need to put their faith into Jesus, in Jesus Christ, Jesus makes it very clear right here that that is not possible. With men, it is impossible. It is impossible for a person to save themselves from hell. But look at what he goes on to say, but not with God. You know what that means? That means there's not a person anywhere that the Lord can't save. That's good news this morning, especially if you're here and you're lost. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that what it says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you are here today and you are lost, the good news is you can leave here saved. And I've had people tell me through the years, brother, you just don't have any idea what I've done. You don't have any idea what I've been through. You have no earthly idea what's going on in my life right now. Listen to me. All of that stuff is what the devil is trying to use to keep you lost so that you'll die in your sins and go to hell. What you need to understand this morning is that you have never been or ever will be too big of a sinner for the Lord to save. Amen? Have I got any sinners in the building this morning that's been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, let me say this. If there's anybody saved in here, I got some sinners that's been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he came to save, amen? He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, the Bible says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There is nobody that the Lord can't save. If you're here today and you are lost, if you are willing to trust Jesus Christ, you can leave saved. Never seen a person. And maybe in your mind, maybe you're saved. But in your mind right now, you're thinking about somebody. Maybe it's a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a child, maybe a friend. Somebody you know and you've been praying for them a long time. You know that they're not ready to meet the Lord. You know if they died now, they'd go to hell. And you're thinking about them. And maybe they've been talked to so many times and prayed for so many times and been through so many different things where God's tried to get their attention that now you're kind of starting to wonder if there's any hope for them. Let me just remind you that as long as there's breath in their lungs, there's still hope for them. Because there is no person the Lord can't save. Here's the third thing I want to say. Not only have I never seen a problem the Lord can't solve, and not only have I never seen a person the Lord can't save, but number three, I want to say this. I've never seen a promise that the Lord can't supply. I've never seen that. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen a promise that the Lord can't supply. How many of you understand this morning that the Bible is a book of promises? It's a book of promises. There's an awful lot in the Bible. Awful lot in the Bible. The Bible is a book of promises. Listen to me. For all peoples, in all ages, in all dispensations, God has made promises. All people, in all ages, in all dispensations, God has made promises. The Bible says he has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. The Bible is full of promises. You find promises in the Old Testament. You find promises in the New Testament. You see some promises that the Lord made right here in the passage we just read. Look again here at Mark chapter 10 and verse number 28. The Bible says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sakes and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He did put that in there, didn't he? That's just as much a promise as anything else in the Bible. But right here, the Lord makes promises. Peter says this, and this is just kind of how Peter was. He liked to speak up and say things. He was what you might call a talker. You know what I mean? A talker. And he didn't mind speaking up and voicing his opinion. He wasn't one of those just sit back and let somebody else do it kind of persons. He was going to get involved. He was going to say things. He was going to do things. Sometimes he said more than he ought to say, right? Any of you in here resemble that? Say some things you ought not say? You just talk so much, you eventually say some stuff you ought not say? The Bible says in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What that means is that when there's a whole lot of words being said, there's no lack of sin. That's what that means. When you start talking a whole lot, which is one reason why the Bible says we ought to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Isn't that what it says? But when you start talking a whole lot, you wind up saying some stuff you don't need to say. Peter was kind of like that. He meant well, but he would just spew things out without really thinking about it like he ought to. And he'd say stuff he didn't need to say. Right here you see he is the one that speaks up on behalf of all the ones there. Lo, we have left all. Notice how he brings everybody else in there, whether they wanted to be included or not. Know what I mean? Lo, we have left all. Why didn't he just say, Lord, I have left all? Why did he bring everybody else in there? It's like us, you know, trying to justify something. We'll say, well, you know what they say. Have y'all ever figured out who they is? Still trying to figure out who they is, but they says an awful lot, don't it? Awful lot. But lo, we have left all. We have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus makes him a promise here. He makes him a promise that is associated with this life. He says, those that have left all of this stuff for me and have followed me, they will be rewarded, number one, in this life. But he said, please understand, along with the rewards they get in this life will come some persecution as well. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Isn't that what it says? So yes, if you follow the Lord, you will be rewarded for it. You will be in this life down here. There'll be blessings that will come your way. Let me ask anybody in here, can you stand up this morning? Anybody here that's saved and you have sold out to the Lord, you've made sacrifices, whatever you've given up, can you honestly stand this morning and say that he hasn't blessed your life for that? Can you do it? Nobody can do that. He rewards people in this life that sell out for him. But along with all those blessings come some hard times too. That's a promise from the Bible. Persecutions come along with it. But notice what he says in the end of verse 30. And in the world to come, eternal life. Promise for this life, promise for the next life, right? You get saved, you sell out, you'll be rewarded down here. But the greatest reward comes when you leave this life down here. You get eternal life to be with him. So all through the Bible you find promises, precious promises that God has made. And the good thing, the really good thing, is that he is able to deliver on every promise he has ever made. Have you talked to people before that made promises and they didn't follow through with those promises? Maybe you've done that. I know I have. There's been times in my life when I've promised something and I wasn't able to follow through with it. Sometimes that happens. Some people make a living off of making promises they know they can't keep. Just try to get your house remodeled, for example. There are a lot of folks that make promises they know. Politicians are the best at it I've ever seen. They're the biggest liars that live on this earth, I think. They have these big campaigns and they brag about all this stuff they're going to do, and they know that they, by themselves, do not have the power to carry out those promises. Isn't that right? But you know what's sad? It's when us gullible people sit and listen to that and say, if he gets in, this is what he's going to do. Probably not. Probably not. Because they make promises they know they can't keep. But here's the thing, we're not talking about men this morning, we're talking about God. And I've never seen a promise that the Lord can't supply. If he made it, he can carry it through. That's what we're talking about. He has the unlimited power and resources to supply every promise. This is great for promises connected to this life. Like, for example, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Y'all know what that verse says? Y'all say it with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Now that is a promise associated with this life. And it's wonderful to know that our God has enough riches and glory to take care of every need we have on this earth. Amen? That's wonderful. But where it really matters is in the life to come. Think about it. Hold your place right here and go to the book of 1 John with me. We're fixing to be done. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. What will happen to people in this life, but then in the next. The Lord has made us a promise about the next life, the life beyond this life. It's good to have stuff down here. It's good to have your needs met. But let me remind you, and y'all know it, this life that we have down here, it's not even a drop in the bucket, right? Compared to eternity. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. This life here is minuscule, but this is the one that we focus on so much. What you better be concerned about is not this life so much as the next life. Because while this life is temporary, the next one lasts forever. You ready for the next life? We spend our time worrying about this life and trying to live the life that we have right now. And that's all right, I guess. But are you ready for the next one? Because listen to me, you're going to go to the next one someday. Every person I'm talking to one day is going to leave this world and go from this life into the next. You're not going to go to a hole in the ground. You're going to go either to heaven or hell. One or the other. You better be concerned about that life more than this life. Look here at 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Talking about promises that God has made. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. That's a promise for people that are saved, amen? For people that are saved. You know what I'm glad of today standing here? I'm glad that he doesn't make promises he knows he can't keep. Hear me, I am counting my whole eternity, my forever, on a promise that God made. That's what I'm doing. And I know that he will fulfill his promise, because I have never seen a promise that the Lord can't supply. Let's bow our heads for prayer. If you're here this morning, please, everybody's head bowed and their eyes closed. Maybe you're saved, maybe you're ready for the next life, but that may not be the case for everybody here today. Please be respectful and be mindful of that, be prayerful of that. If there's somebody here today and they're not saved, we want to give them the opportunity right now, these next few moments, to make the most important decision of their life. While we sing here in just a moment, if you're lost, if you don't know that you are ready for the next life, would you please come and let me show you from the Word of God what you need to know to be ready to die. You may have everything this world can offer and be ready for retirement and the years to come, but are you ready for the life that comes after this one? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you again for this day, for the opportunity we have to be in church. And Lord, if there is somebody here today that's lost, I pray your Holy Spirit would be dealing with them, showing their need for salvation. And I pray they'd come before this service is over and receive Christ as their personal Savior. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Jimmy.